As we prepare to go through this message, I invite you to join me in prayer. Loving God, the words, this message, everything is yours. I just ask that you guide and direct the hearing, the receiving, the speaking, every aspect of this, that it is yours. And we thank you and praise you for your absolute love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is Respond. And we all respond in different ways, in different aspects, depending on the situation, depending on the dynamics. We're going to talk about a little bit of that today. What does the return of Jesus look like to you? How would you describe what that looks like? Do you have an image or a picture or a series of events that come to mind? Are you excited for that? Or is there some trepidation and fear in knowing what that's like? Can you describe it? If someone asks you, can you describe what that looks like to you? When people think of Jesus Christ returning in glory, they picture him riding triumphantly on his white horse, alienating all the people who are standing in opposition to him in that moment. Somewhat, that can come from Scripture, from Revelations. But is that the image that you would portray if someone asked you? Many people fear his return. And why is that? A lot of that is because of the events that are associated with his return. That's a big deal. That's devastating to a lot of people to think about. God doesn't want us to be afraid, and that is a given. He never meant for us to dread his coming or to be afraid of him or anyone else. And I know many in here probably have a family member maybe that they're afraid of for various reasons. Maybe just their stature. I don't know. But there's a fear. Jesus is all about love, caring, concern. And yes, there will be some tough times at his return. Fear is not what should be uppermost in our hearts when we think of God or of Jesus returning in glory. That's the thing. When you describe it, would you describe the fearful or the negative or those events that are causing a lot of angst for people? Or would you talk about the glory of what is coming with that? The reality of Jesus as King of Kings, restoring his government on this earth. That hasn't existed since the Garden of Eden in his perfect world. Have you ever stopped and thought about what the Garden of Eden was truly like? Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And that will come back when Jesus returns. Today's text is from Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. Through this text, we will see that Jesus is a king worth following. And that's huge because there's a lot of people that in this country, we've kind of lost the concept of king. But you go to Europe and some other countries, you can hear about it most recently with the Queen of England dying and her son becoming king. It's been in the news. There's been a lot of things that come up that let us understand a little bit more about what a king is, even though their king is somewhat not the final say. But in this picture, as we think about, Jesus is a king worth following. I'm going to pick up and read verse 33 from chapter 21. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. This is talking about, and when they, that was more than likely the Roman soldiers, came to the place called the Skull, and they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. I find it interesting that Jesus was in the middle. Doesn't say why, but you think about the dynamics as we play through this story. Jesus is in the middle of the mess. The skull refers to probably a region of outside the city that maybe the rock formation looked like a skull. You may have heard it in Golgotha. Golgotha in Aramaic means skull. You've heard Calvary, that term. That in Latin means skull. Whether it's Golgotha, whether it's Calvary, whether it's the skull, it's referring to that region. The skull, it refers to, it's a place of pain, suffering, and death. We too come to places that are like the skull, full of pain, suffering, and death. We've all experienced that. We see that whenever pain, suffering, and death comes to, Jesus goes with us, all of us. He's right there with us. Picture again in his crucifixion. He is in the middle. So there's some imagery that is a part of that. We are not innocent victims. We must identify with the criminals who are deserving of death. Which one of us doesn't have sin in our DNA, in our life, in how we perform, how we do things? We need to think about those two criminals on either side, that we're guilty and worthy of death. Even there we find Jesus. He's right there in the middle. Our King, present right in the middle of our sin and guilt. You ever thought about King Jesus being in the middle of your mess, in your world, in your decisions, in your life choices? He's right there. The kings or leaders of this world, they want to disassociate themselves from anyone who may threaten their reputation. They don't want to have that person that may reflect a negative on them. Jesus chooses to identify with the lowly, the criminal, and the sinner. He identifies with us and takes his place among us. He is a king full of mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And we will see some of that forgiveness here directly, picking it up in verse 34. And Jesus said, Father. Now keep in mind, this is audible. He isn't praying in his mind. He is on the cross, and audibly he is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. The word forgive, in a sense, is, Father, let it go. Look past this. Don't hold on to that. And he is praying audibly for any of those there to hear that he is praying that they are forgiven, for they do not know what they do. The thing of it is, who can pardon sin? Who can wipe it off the books? The King. The King is the one that has the authority to say, it's over, it's done, it's no longer an issue. And that's this King Jesus here in this moment, in this time, saying, God, Father, let it go. Don't count it. Looking for the grace that is taking place. As you read this and think about the grace that is extended from Jesus Christ to all of us, Under the excruciating pain and humiliation order of the crucifixion, this king prays audibly to the Father to forgive us. We go back and dial back into that scripture, and they took his clothes and divided his garments. He was stripped naked and put on the cross. He hung there, and that was part of Rome's humiliation for anyone crucified. The very fact that they were stripped naked was another form of punishment or humiliation to the person being crucified. Jesus receives no remorse, no regret, no repentance before asking his Father to forgive. When you think about that, as you're looking at this story, he starts out with an audible prayer of saying, forgive them. You didn't hear, nothing is recorded about them asking for forgiveness, for I'm sorry. He opened the door and says, forgive. Both the leaders and the soldiers mocked Jesus with the challenge to save himself. Those leaders were probably the Jewish leaders, the ones that were out and very avid in taking him down. You realize Jesus never came to save himself? Just let that sink in a little bit. He came for the purpose of redeeming all of mankind, every human. Jesus' prayer had already been offered for us all. He'd already asked his Father, let it go. He has already forgiven us. The forgiveness from this king has already been given, so we as sinners are gratefully received. We don't have to work for it or prove we are deserving of it. Ever think of that? You can't order your life enough to remove all sin. We're human. We make those mistakes. But he's already forgiven us. It's already done. Jesus hung voluntarily on the cross. And you say, well, yeah, he was nailed there. Okay. Facing our crisis in our place, on our behalf, he took effectively the entirety of sins of all of mankind. And did they keep him on the cross? It was his choice. He volunteered to do this. This was not something that somebody said, you got to do this. This was his choice. And he stayed there in spite of the legions of angels who longed to deliver him from his suffering. Can you imagine? The angels knew who Jesus was, is. They've known him for all of their existence. They wanted desperately, I would imagine, to not have him go through this. And he said, no, I'm here. I volunteered to stay because this is so important for all of mankind. He allowed himself to undergo our worst so he could receive his best, so we could receive his best. Repentance follows forgiveness, not the other way around. Repentance follows forgiveness. We're already forgiven, not repentance first. I want to read verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him. Effectively, he kept blaspheming him. He kept haranguing, bad-mouthing, constant. And we've heard people like that. They just won't shut up. They just constantly are right there. And that's what one of them was just constantly in that environment, all three of them, Jesus in the middle, and hearing this constant drone from this other side. Are you not the Christ? Well, he was. He knew he was the Christ. Save yourself, and us. Now, here's this constant. Aren't you the Christ? Yeah. Well, save yourself, and us too. But the other one rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving due rewards of our deeds. This guy is saying, we're here because of what we did. Own it. That's why you're here. But this man, the man in the middle, has done nothing wrong. That's pretty perceptive of this criminal. He would have known. And he said, Jesus. He called him by name. So he knew who he was. In that environment, hanging on the cross, one doing this, the other one defending Jesus, knowing who Jesus is. And his request, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't say, save me. He didn't say, set me aside. He says, remember me. And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That was God's grace shown to this individual. What does paradise look like? Do we have an idea? Do we have a thought of what that may be? We are left with the only thing left to do. Respond. Your choice. You're going to respond to something. We have only two responses left to us. Rejection or reception. That simple. It's your call. It's your choice. Like the two criminals, we can either reject this king and his gift of salvation and forgiveness that is already offered, or we can receive what the Lord freely gives us, a life in paradise with him. You will respond one way or another. What you do is your choice. It is freely offered to be experiencing life with Jesus forever. There are some that talk about paradise as being equivalent or a picture of what the Garden of Eden would have been when it was first created. Perfect. I don't care where you have visited on this earth and how wonderful you may have experienced or how much you would say this is almost utopia. It is so wonderful. It's nothing to what's coming. What this paradise is, we can't describe. And you know, I'm really glad I can't, because I don't want to describe something because I will leave a lot of detail out. What he has for us is beyond what we can comprehend. It's that wonderful. As we come to the communion, there's a couple of scriptures I want to read. The first one is from 1 John, verse 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. As you think of these elements that he has told us to remember him, think about that fellowship. What it took to get to that fellowship. The second verses I want to read is in John 17, in verses 20 through 24. Picking it up in verse 20. I do not ask for these only, Jesus didn't ask for just these, those two on either side, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, Father and Son. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you've loved me. In verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. As we have the opportunity to share the gift of this table, the elements that Jesus provided for us, representing his broken body and his shed blood. Here at Grace Communion Derby, it is an open table. All are welcome. Those elements are for all of us. If you would bow your heads and join me in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, King Jesus, for your absolute steadfast stay for us, for our benefit. You have forgiven us before we even knew we needed to be forgiven. And God, thank you for these elements. Father, I ask that you would bless them, that we could ingest these into our body to remember Jesus and his absolute love for us. And God, we pray for his return, his coming kingship, to reestablish your perfect love, kindness, relationship with each, and that we can exist in paradise with him forever. God, I just praise you and thank you and ask for your absolute blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The table is set. Realize that you are forgiven. What a powerful thing to think about. As you come forward, maybe thank Jesus for his sacrifice, for his love, and for his continued presence in your world, in your life.
Father, as we close this service, we give you praise. We praise Jesus as our King, a King who loves us so much, he was willing to give his life to give us eternal life with you. Thank you for your message today. May we keep it in our hearts. Be with us as we leave here. Guide us in loving those we meet this week and sharing the wonderful news of your love with them. I pray this in Jesus' name. And I'll leave you with this from 1 Timothy 1:17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.